Thank you, Tommy. And now we'll hear from Merle. Take away, Merle.
Well, Tommy said a lot of what I was going to cover, but you know, but maybe it's a different angle too. Yeah. So, anyway, I think it is. This is a topic I think that is very, very complex, and I'm very excited to be here and with Tommy and my comrades and people who come also to partake of this discussion. And that's, if we do that, that's a wonderful thing for us to come together to talk about it. So what happened with this? You know, marriage, I mean, look at the horrors of marriage. And we thought it was a conservative blow once upon a time to women's and gay liberation. And now it's seen as key in the battle for civil liberties. And who is leading this battle? Queers who are not only storming the barricades of holy marriage, but who could change the institution of marriage itself. It's thrilling. I mean, this is thrilling to see marriage turn into its opposite, from a pillar of conventional patriarchal bourgeois society into a form of civil disobedience. Newsom thought he was opening a door to queer equality. But what he didn't plan for was the global impact of this decision to allow queers to marry and partake of those 1,000 and something rights and responsibilities which only accrue to married couples. Newsom opened the door, but the people tore the whole building down. And that's how I see it. This is going that way too. Many of these marriage rights, of course, are related to property and economics. Capitalism, in order to continue and prosper, must maintain marriage for heterosexual couples and with it the monogamous nuclear family. In our Radical Women Manifesto, the authors discuss the origins of patriarchal marriage. According to Frederick Engels, the rise of private property and the monogamous nuclear patriarchal family arose simultaneously. Marriage solidified the right of the husband to own his wife and children. The word familia originally meant the number of slaves a man owned. Women and children became chattel, and that was the first class division in human society. Patriarchy, or male dominance, supplanted the ancient matriarchy, which was based on a communal egalitarian clan structure. Under fundamentalism, whether it be Christian, Jewish, or Islamic, the patriarchal family became the basic model for all human relations, which is inherently unequal. Under capitalism, the family became the fundamental economic unit. The father dominates and owns the property, the woman is his subordinate, and children become appendages of the father with very few rights. The family is the economic unit. Capitalism wishes to maintain at any cost. Why? Well, because the capitalist bosses only have to pay wages for one adult, and those wages have to maintain an entire family. The capitalist gets a real bargain off of women's free labor in the home while she works to maintain the husband and raise new little workers, her children. No wonder conservatives want to keep the institution of heterosexual marriage at any cost. Think how costly it would be to the government if queers were allowed to marry and gain those 1,000 rights and responsibilities. Among those rights, you know, and I think Tommy mentioned those too, are benefits. These are the rights in the marriage contract. In those rights are benefits related to taxes, one's property, government, medical, death, family, and housing even, right? So, wow, this is what you get. Does capitalism love that family? Indeed. My friend Vita, an Asian American lesbian, attended a few marriage ceremonies at San Francisco City Hall and the grand reception where over 2,000 people attended. I asked her if she saw many people of color. Vita told me that she saw a few couples who were of mixed race, but not many. The question rises, of course, is how accessible was it to poor working class queers of color? Tommy and I asked this too, we asked this. Who could afford transportation to San Francisco, take time off from work, stand in line for hours upon end, pay marriage license fees, which is $82, and pay for lodging and food? So what happened was the majority of those who married were white, middle-aged, and 70% had college degrees. It's easy to see why queers of color weren't represented at City Hall. Also, you know, when you think about it, because of racism, there's more pressures on queers of color to remain anonymous as well, right? And not flagrantly advertise their sexual preference. I find it most interesting that in order to get hitched, couples have to present a driver's license or a passport. No immigrants need apply. And fill out a questionnaire that invades their privacy. After all, this is a marriage contract. Couples have to give social security numbers, their education, their occupation, their parents' names, and much more. It is absolutely possible that in this environment of the war on terror, if there was a backlash from the Christian right wing, the targeted people would be those who already filled out all their information for the government. Gay couples would not get social security benefits if they got married, nor could one partner gain citizenship if the other is a citizen. These rights accrue only to heterosexual marrieds. In order to obtain social security, federal recognition is necessary. But that won't happen because of Clinton's 1994 Defense of Marriage Act. Here's some other disadvantages. Marriage would reinforce the coupleism as the preferred human relationship. And believe me, I know collective living. You know, it's wonderful. And marriage would further prop up the monogamous nuclear family that privileges males over females. It could divide the queer movement. One segment of the queer movement would be accepted and respected, the other rejected and scorned, and the radical. Does legalizing queer marriage threaten the traditional family? I sure hope so. Queers have the potential to create a whole new set of values that will make the family democratic and equal. Today, many queers are feminists as well. They will insist on equality. They will challenge patriarchy and women's subordination. They will challenge the idea that sex love is for procreation only. And what about those Republicans and Democrats? Bush thinks he's so damn clever. His response to same-sex marriage is to propose to amend the Constitution by explicitly denying queers the right to marry. He at once distracts the people from his criminal war in Iraq and the spiraling down of the economy. He also gives it out to all the Republicans and Democrats who can fight against this amendment while remaining opposed to same-sex marriage. The ultra-right are filling Bush's coffers for his anti-queer stance. Clinton stood squarely against queers in his Don't Ask, Don't Tell policy in the armed forces and signed the Defense of Marriage Act in 1996. Which defined marriage as the union between a man and a woman. The DOMA also allows states to refuse to recognize same-sex marriages from other states. The Dems justify their lack of support for gay marriage as political survival. Democrat Barney Frank of Massachusetts, the first openly gay member of Congress, says that there are many important issues beyond the gay and lesbian agenda, and that Democrats should not feel they have to take a position now. He says Franklin Roosevelt should not have come out for interracial marriage in 1932. Roosevelt would have lost the presidency, and we would have lost the New Deal. According to the Chronicle, quote, it is hard to name a single Democrat of national stature who has taken a high-profile position in support of same-sex marriages. The most prominent Dems to speak out are the mayor of San Francisco, the chair of the California Board of Equalization, the attorney general of New York, and a pair of long-shot candidates for president. The very few Democrats that do support same-sex marriage do so out of their liberalism. They support gay marriage because that will bring queers acceptability and respectability. Queers will assimilate into mainstream life and become monogamous and family-oriented, just like straight liberals. But benefits should also accrue to those straights and queers who decide not to get married, not to be monogamous, not to have children, who want to have a self-commitment ceremony like Aya De Leon did. She recommitted to herself. She went. She got a wedding dress from Sears. So I want to make a self-commitment to myself, yeah, too. Yeah. And the collective. Me and the collective. So what do we have to do? Well, we've got to hit the streets and organize.
Yeah.
The Democrats sold us out on gay marriage, and they sold us out on Iraq. They fell into line behind Bush in supporting war in Iraq. But after millions of us around the world hit the streets, they started to change their tune. I think it's the same with same-sex marriage. I think it's important to emphasize that gaining the right to marry is a reform. As socialist feminists, radical women and the Freedom Socialist Party supports fighting for reforms with the understanding that only a revolution will thoroughly dismantle racism, sexism, heterosexism, and class oppression. The only way we will win our rights is if we protest, mobilize, organize, and build such a powerful militant movement from below that they cannot ignore us. One concrete action would be to build an independent, feminist, anti-racist, anti-capitalist labor party that would stand up face-to-face opposing both the Democrats and Republicans. But we know we can't win it alone. If we unite our struggle with union members fighting for their full benefits and to preserve their jobs, with women fighting to defend their reproductive rights, with people of color defending affirmative action and fighting police brutality, then we can. We're fighting, us working people are already fighting on so many fronts. We need to get together in a mighty front for civil, labor, and human rights on an international scale. The problems of this world know no borders, and neither should we. Let's fight for our right to choose, to be monogamous in pairs, in celibacy, to have children or not, to be in groups. The right to choose and be equal to everyone else, married or single or whatever. And let's claim the right to be radical. Let's not be ashamed of being anti-capitalist and for socialism and feminism. Because after all, you know, it will take a revolution for queers to gain full equality. The changes have to be at the root. It really does, and that's why feminism is so necessary. Those of us who are sexually diverse, plus women, plus people of color, plus workers, we're the majority, and the youth, we're the majority, and we will consciously evolve into a humanist society where equality, democracy, and love are the norm and not the exception. In a socialist, feminist world, all would have equal rights. Economic coercion would not be a factor pressuring couples to marry. Queers are central to fighting patriarchal capitalism because they challenge rigid gender roles and the subordination of women and queers. We will redefine the family. It will have nothing to do with economics, with property rights, with rules of behavior, or anything.